Today, the CPI is still on the blink. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The Consumer Price Index, the CPI, rose 0.5% in the September quarter, according to the latest Australian Bureau of Statistics figures. This follows a rise of 0.6% in the June quarter. All groups CPI seasonally adjusted rose just 0.3%, and the trimmed mean rose 0.4% following a rise of 0.4% in the June quarter. And over the 12 months to the September 2019 quarter, the trimmed mean rose 1.6% following a rise of 1.6% over the 12 months to June 2019 quarter. The weighted mean rose 0.3% following a rise of 0.4% in the June 2019 quarter, and over the 12 months, the weighted mean rose 1.2%, following a rise of 1.3% over the 12 months to June 2019. And this is well below the RBA target. Now, of course, these stats do not reflect reality. As we discussed in our recent post, is the CPI a lie? To recap, statistical changes have been made to account for product substitution, a greater degree of quality changes in products and services, and faster introduction of new outlets or ways in which people shop. The introduction of new variables in the estimation of inflation alters the pattern and at various times the rate of change as well. Prior to their changes, analysts and government statisticians estimated that the potential reduction in core inflation from all of these statistical changes would range from 1.5% to 1%. Yet all of these estimates were looking backwards, and there is no guidance from the statistical agencies of the scale of the reduction in reported inflation after implementation. And second, the shift in the measure of shelter costs a couple of decades ago to use only prices from rental markets and exclude those from the owner's housing market systematically removed the largest single driver of cyclical inflation, while it also simultaneously reduced the volatility in reported inflation. The significance of these findings has not received as much attention as they should. Removing this largest single driver of cyclical changes in inflation means that reported inflation nowadays does not exhibit the same sensitivity to economic growth and interest rates as was the case in previous cycles. So one of the reasons why the trade-off between changes in unemployment and reported inflation has been so benign in the last 20 years is due specifically to changes in the CPI methodology. And that's also why, in our household surveys, we see many households complaining that the cost of living are just so much higher in real terms than in these official statistics. Now, with that said, let's look in more detail at the ABS data. And we're looking first of all at the categories across the weighted average of the capital cities. The most significant price rise in the September 2019 quarter were international holiday, travel and accommodation up 6.1%, tobacco up 3.4%, property rates and charges up 2.5%, and childcare up 2.5%. On the other hand, the most significant price falls this quarter were automotive fuel down 2%, fruit down 3.1%, and vegetables down 2.5%. But despite the price falls for fruit and vegetables this quarter, the drought is impacting the prices for a range of food products. Prices rose this quarter for meat and seafood up 1.7%, dairy and related products up 2.2%, and bread and cereal products up 1.3%. The CPI rose 1.7% through the year to September 2019. This follows a through-the-year rise of 1.6% to June. And annual inflation remains subdued, partly due to price rises for housing-related expenses remaining low, and in some cases falling in annual terms. Prices for utilities were down 0.3%, and new dwelling purchases by owner-occupiers were down 0.1%, and both fell slightly through the year to the September 2019 quarter. While rents were only 0.4%, and that was a very small rise. Now, we can also look across the major cities. And there you'll see that Sydney rose 0.5% over the quarter and 1.6% over the year. Melbourne rose 0.5% over the quarter, 1.7% over the year. Brisbane rose 0.6% over the quarter and 1.9% over the year. Adelaide rose 0.7% over the quarter and up 1.9% over the year. Perth was 0.5% over the quarter and 1.6% over the year. Hobart was up 0.5% over the quarter and up 2.2% over the year. Darwin was up 0.3% over the quarter and up 0.5% over the year. Canberra was up 0.7% over the quarter and up 1.8% over the year. And the weighted average across the eight capital cities was 0.5% over the quarter and 1.7% over the year. So it's worth noting that there were some variations across the individual centres, and there are some specific point explanations. For example, changes to energy pricing in some centres, and also changes to rates and to fare structures in different locations. But the final point to make is that the average inflation rate, according to the official statistics, is still well below the 2 to 3% targeted by the RBA. The truth, of course, is that in reality, many households are experiencing much higher rates of inflation. But for some reason, those do not flow through to the official statistics. And therefore, in a way, we are flying somewhat blind. And it could well be that the RBA is actually reacting to too lower inflation rates relative to reality. But I guess we'll never know. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.